Something worth the recording. Okay. Good. Okay. So share number three in this series. The topic that I want to talk about tonight is about being present in each moment. That's the topic for tonight. Being present in each moment. And let me explain why I think this is such an important topic that we should devote a whole shiur to it. So first of all, there are some obvious benefits to being present, learning how to be really there in each moment. I mean, of course, you get things more, you enjoy things more. Certainly when you're with people, you're talking to people, everyone wants to talk to somebody who's very present with them. You don't want to talk to somebody who's very distracted. So that's obvious reasons. But there's an interesting thing that they've started to study in psychology over the last couple of decades, which is that presence, learning how to be present, which we're going to define in a minute, has a lot to do with happiness. And there's nobody in this room who doesn't want to be happy, right? Nobody woke up this morning saying, I really don't want to be happy today. So one of the findings that a lot of studies have shown over the last couple of decades is that the major things that bother people, the major things that cause people to be very distraught. So the number one is usually depression, and then there's anxiety, and there's all the different disorders people can have. Most of them have something to do with being overly focused on the past or on the future. Okay? If you think about it, depression has a lot to do with regret over past things, sadness over things in the past, the guilt over things that have happened, and anxiety has a lot to do with worries and fears about the future. One psychologist said it as follows, that suffering seems to increase as we stray from the present moment. And they've done lots of studies about this, that the more a person knows how to enjoy his present moments, how to really be here, how to enhance the experience that he's in, not to be overly focused on the past or on the future. Not that we don't care about the past or the future, but that we often know how to live in the present. The more a person can do that, the happier he becomes. There's a lot of studies talk about this. And it's interesting how bad we are at being present. Right? Most of the time, our minds are often all over the place, and most of the time we find ourselves thinking about things that are going to come up. It can be as mundane as, what am I going to eat for dinner? That it can be as big as, what am I going to do with my future? Or we find ourselves thinking about the past very often. Things that happened, things we wished happened differently, things we regret. It's very just profound to see, if you pay attention to the working of your own mind, how much time you spend in the past or in the future. And the degree to which that happens is the degree to which you're not here in the present, which is directly correlated with levels of happiness. In other words, you're less happy the less that you're here. Now, everything that I said right now would make sense based on a very I think to anybody wants to be, whoever wants to be happy, this is important information. I want to also now add why I think this is particularly important for an Eved Hashem and for a Ben Torah, and why this is not something that's only important to psychologists. You've heard of the phrase mindfulness. Anybody heard of that phrase, mindfulness? It's a very, very big deal now, not just in psychology literature, but become a popular catchphrase all over the world, which is describing exactly what I'm talking about right now, being fully present in the moment that you're in. And I think it has very important effects for being a Jew. That's what I want to talk about. Because I think that not only being psychologically happy and being emotionally happy is important, but I also think being spiritually happy. Being spiritually happy is very, very important. And what does that mean? So one of the things that happens when a person knows how to be fully present in all of his moments, it's not only that he's here and he feels better and happier, but also he's able to tune in to what's the purpose of this moment. What am I supposed to do with the moment that I'm in? How am I supposed to use it? Let me explain what I mean. We say in davening every single day, Hamachadesh betuvo v'chol yom tamid ma'aseh breishis. Right? That we believe that every single moment, Hashem is being mechadesh, he's renewing the world. Hamachadesh betuvo, he's renewing out of his goodness. Hamachadesh b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh breishis. The ma'aseh breishis, the creation of the world, is actually being recreated and happening every moment, even right now. That right now, Rav Dessler has a whole piece on this, and he's talking about Teva, which is fascinating, and you should see it. But essentially, our belief is not that there are laws of nature that Hashem set into order and they just continue to run on their own, but actually what's happening in spiritual physics, the way the world works spiritually, is that the only reason the world continues to exist at every moment is because Hashem is continuously feeding it existence all the time. Which is very interesting if you think about that. But there's another thing that we know, which is that we know that Hashem doesn't do anything without a purpose. Every single thing that Hashem does has a purpose. If you put these two things together, what you come out with is that every single moment that Hashem is continually feeding existence into the world has a purpose. That every Hashem wouldn't create the world anew every moment if it didn't have a specific purpose for why it should be created in that moment. Okay? What does that mean for us? How do we tune into that? How do we tune in for the specific purpose of each moment? Okay. So this is exactly the way that Rav Yerucham, the great Mashkiach of the Mir, Rav Yerucham Lubavitz, is exactly the way he defines Yerushamayim. Yerushamayim is probably one of the most often used phrases in Yeshiva and in the Avodas Hashem. Everybody wants to be a Yerushamayim. Fear of heaven. What does Yerushamayim mean? So Rav Yerucham gives a fascinating definition, and he compares it to waking up and or sobering up after being drunk. He says that when you're drunk, you have a very fuzzy picture of reality. That things are not clear. You can't really see what's there in front of you. You're living and you're operating in the world, but things are not clear. When you sober up, all of a sudden you're able to see what was there the whole time, but you weren't able to be aware of it. So that's what Yerushamayim is. Yerushamayim is waking up to the reality of the world. That's the way he defines Yerushamayim. Now, what does that mean, waking up to the reality? What exactly are you waking up to? I mean, I'm awake, I see things, and I even before I was Yerushamayim, everybody in the world sees the world around us, so what are we waking up to that we weren't aware of beforehand? So he says that there's a part of reality that if you're sleeping, you won't notice. Or if you're drunk, you won't notice. Okay? And that piece of reality is a little bit of a deep concept, but I think we could do it, is the spiritual dimension of reality. Okay, let me just say what that means for a second. Right now, if I'm looking around, I can very easily see the physical dimension of reality. It's right here, clear to my physical eyes. I can see all of you sitting here at tables, chairs, that's clear. There's a spiritual dimension of reality, okay? And I have to develop spiritual eyes to see the spiritual dimension of reality. What is the spiritual dimension of reality? What it is, is understanding not only that things are here, but that Hashem is here also, and that each thing that is here has a purpose to why it's here. In other words, when a person uses his spiritual eyes, which are located in your neshama, okay, when you tune yourself in to seeing things through a spiritual lens, you don't only see physical items around you or people around you, you see a world of purpose. You see a world that's heading somewhere. You see a world that is meant to be used in line with Hashem's will. That's what it means to wake up, to sober up. And if you're not looking for that, you won't see it. You won't see a world of purpose, you'll see a world of stuff. But if you wake up and you become a Yerei Shamayim, you'll realize, hey, there's not just stuff here, but there's Hashem here, and He has a will for how all this is meant to be used. That's called seeing things with a lens of purpose. Okay? Now, that concept is only possible if a person tunes in to his present reality. Okay? If you're sort of like running through life and you don't take a moment to notice each moment that you're in, you won't be able to tune in to the purpose of the moment that you're in, because you'll always be heading somewhere else. Ravolbi has a phrase for this. He calls it simas lev. Simas lev literally means paying attention. He has a sefer called Pirkei Kinyan Das. And in the sefer, he talks about the importance of noticing all the moments that you're in. There's actually the statement of the Arizal, who says something very similar. I'm going to show you that all through the gamut of our sources, we have people talking about this topic. But the Arizal says, we have a Mishnah that says, "Im lo achshav emasai." Hillel says it first paragraph, Perek Yavos, "Im lo achshav emasai." If not now, when? The Arizal says that we're very used to thinking that each person has a purpose in the world, right? We know that. That's true. That's a very, you've probably heard that before. Everyone has a purpose, a unique purpose. What we're not used to thinking is that each moment also has a unique purpose in the world. That's what the Arizal says. "Im lo achshav emasai." If not now, when? Meaning, if I don't take advantage of the moment that I'm in, if I don't show up and figure out how I'm meant to be present in this moment, if I'm thinking about a previous moment or a future moment, I've missed out on this moment. I've missed out on the purpose for which Hashem is creating this moment. He's recreating the moment right now, and I'm not tuned into it because I'm not here. I'm somewhere else. Okay, that's what it means to be Yerei Shamayim. Right? Yerei Shamayim is a person who asks himself the question, Hashem, what do you want from me now? That's the central question a Yerei Shamayim asks himself. Hashem, what do you want from me now? I realize that you're here. I realize that the time is now. And I realize that there's something that you want from me in this moment that I'm in. So I have to be present. I have to show up. So being mindful of the reality that you're in and learning how to be present, centered, and focused isn't just so that you can be happy. It's so that you can use the world in the way it's meant to be used right now. You can play your part in the present moment. And it would be such a shame if you missed out on that. So we have to learn how to do that. I want to show you just where else this comes up, and just give you some Ara Makomos to show you that everyone's talking about this point. Okay, not only modern psychologists. So we have the Arizal already. We also have the Gra. The Gra says, there's another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, "Dalif nemiyasa miata asid litein din v'cheshbon." Person has to know before whom he's going to be giving a din and a cheshbon. Okay, so obviously that means Hashem. We have to be aware that we're going to be giving a din and a cheshbon in front of Hashem. What do din and cheshbon mean? So din is what we would have imagined it to be, that after 120 years we're going to go to Hashem, we're going to be there in front of Him, and He's going to have an accounting of all the things that we did and didn't do, and that's din, the checklist. Cheshbon, says the Gra, is that we're also going to be shown a video. This is a scary point, so just kind of hold on to your seats for a second. We're going to be shown a video of all of the ways that we could have used our moments and didn't. In other words, each moment could have been used in a certain way. It wasn't used in that way. And the cheshbon is that that's going to be pointed out to us. It's interesting. It's a quote by Viktor Frankl. Are you familiar with Viktor Frankl? Man's Search for Meaning. Really, really good book. So he has a line, he's not in that book, but he has a line, where he says, he tells people, that you should live as if you're living for the second time. It's a beautiful quote. Live as if you're living for the second time. Why? Because if you were the second time around in your life, you'd realize from making mistakes the first time how each moment is meant to be used. That's what cheshbon is. That's what the Gra is pointing out. That Hashem's going to show you how you could have used all your moments. So you should live as if you're living the second time, where you were looking back and realizing or thinking to yourself, if I could live it over again, how should I be using this moment? Okay? So again, we don't there's no way to take advantage of our moments if we're not showing up for them. So that's the Gra. We also have it by Rav Kook. Rav Kook, when he's talking about the davening of the Yom Kippur davening. So we know towards the end of Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Ad shelo notzarti, eini kedai. V'achshav shelo notzarti, kilu lo notzarti. Right, which literally means, before I was created, it wasn't kedai. And now that I've been created, it's as if I wasn't created. So Rav Kook comments on this line in the davening. He says that before a person comes into the world, there was no purpose for him to be here. Right? There would be no reason for you to be here before the time that you came. Hashem held you backstage for 5,770 years, okay, waiting for your prompt, waiting for your part on the stage of life. He was holding you in waiting. He doesn't use the stage metaphor, but I think it's helpful. And then when it became your turn to get on stage and play your part, he then put you on stage. And now it's the right time for you to be in the world. So when we say, Ad shelo notzarti eini kedai, that before I was created, it wasn't kedai, means it wasn't kedai for me to be created until right now. I'm specifically put here at this moment to take advantage right now and to be part of the world's plan and Hashem's plan right now. In this moment, that's when I'm supposed to be here. And it's interesting that the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, he commented one time that he didn't understand a lot of Rav Kook's writings, but this writing of Rav Kook, he felt in his bones. He felt how true this was. That it's only now, in the moment that you're in, that you can possibly do anything productive in the world. It has to be now, because now is the time when Hashem needs you to be here. We also have the same concept by Rabbi Nachman. Nekutzi Maharan, he says as follows. Ein la adam be olamo ki im oso hayom va oso hasha sheomid bo. A person doesn't have in the world other than the day and the hour that he is currently standing in. Ki yom hamacharas, because the next day, hu olam acher legamrei, is a new world completely. A person shouldn't be focused on tomorrow, right? If you think about it in these terms, you know, in a couple of hours we're going to be davening Marv. There's only one time you're ever going to be davening this Marav in your entire life. It's not as if you miss this one, you're going to have one tomorrow night. No, this Marav is going to come and go. And the question is going to be, are you going to show up for it? Are you going to be present for this Marav? If you lose out on this Marav, you won't get it back. That's what the Arizal was saying. Every moment has a purpose, a way it's supposed to be used, and if you lose it, you miss it. And our life is made up of all... It's a string of moments, and we choose if we want to be present for those moments or not and take full advantage of them. I heard a shiur from Moshe Weinberger from New York, and he's just had a nice vignette. I thought it was kind of cute, but very, very true. He said that once a chassid came to the Kutzker, and they were talking, and the Kutzker said to him, "So who's your Rebbe?" And so the chassid told him who his Rebbe was. And so the Kutzker asked him, "What's your Rebbe's mida?" Apparently, each Rebbe had a certain way that he would shine. And so the chassid answered him by saying, "My Rebbe's greatness, where my Rebbe excels, is in whatever he's doing at that moment." That's what he said to the Kutzker. "That's my Rebbe's greatness, whatever he's doing at that moment." And to that, apparently, the Kutzker was blown away. Did you ever hear of such a Jew whose Mila was the moment that he's in? One last source is the Chafetz Chaim, just to show you that this is really across the gamut. The Chafetz Chaim, he's talking about the interaction between Hashem and Moshe by the sneh, by the burning bush. So we know that Hashem tells Moshe, take off your shoes. Take off your shoes. So what's the line there? So he says, take off your shoes. Ki hamakom asher ata omed sham admas kodesh hu. The place that you're standing in is holy ground. And Chafetz Chaim extrapolated from that pasuk. He said, not only the physical place that you're standing in is holy, but the makom, your place in life, is very holy. The makom that you're in each moment is very holy. It's very kadosh. And you have to realize that where you're in has to be taken full advantage of. Okay. So we see clearly this idea of being present is very, very important. It's very central to what it means to be a Jew, to be a Yerei Shemayim. What is this presence that we're talking about? So the difficulty of this topic is that it's very, very hard to describe presence. But I think there are some words that do a little bit, gonna kind of get us part of the way of what this means. So the idea of being present in this moment has something to do with being centered, something to do with being fully here, okay, if these words mean anything to you, something to do with being tuned into the moment, okay, not there, not somewhere else, but here, something to do with being focused. Okay, this is the kind of presence that we're trying to cultivate. Does this make any sense? Has anyone ever had the experience of being really present in the moment? Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever spoken to somebody where you feel that he's just not present in the moment with you? You know how aggravating that is, right? It's one of the worst types of conversations. You just don't want to talk anymore. Because it's very aggravating when someone's not there. And we want to be people who are really, really there, not just for our friendships, but also for our Avodas Hashem. I want to talk about four specific applications where presence is needed as a Jew. And you'll see these are like four of the biggest things that we do as Jews, okay? One of them is davening. So davening. We have a Mishnah, okay, four applications. The first one's davening. We have a Mishnah in Brachos. The Mishnah in Brachos, in the first perek, says that, famous Mishnah, Chasidim Rishonim, how you show in Sha Achas Lefnei Tefillah, that in the olden times, the Chasidim Rishonim used to spend an hour before davening in the morning, focusing themselves, centering themselves, preparing themselves, whatever the word shohin means. Usually it's understood to be some type of a meditation they used to do. And the purpose of it was to center themselves and bring themselves fully here into the moment so that they could daven with full presence. It's a Mishnah that says that. There's a book, one of the Rav Aryeh Kaplan's books, very, very good book, and he talks about kavana, the word kavana. And he explains what the word means. And he says the basic definition of kavana, if you really want to understand what Chazal meant by the word kavana, the word that he uses to define it into English is directed consciousness, which basically just means focusing your attention on what's right in front of you. And that's the type of attunement that a person's supposed to have when he davens, that I'm fully here. Now, we know how hard that is. When we daven, our minds are usually not here. Usually our minds are on 100 different other things. Right, davening seems to be the time we do most of our thinking. But really, what we're supposed to be doing when we're davening is arriving, showing up in the moment, and allowing each word to pass through our consciousness, through our awareness, focus on it while it's here, let it go, and then focus on the next word. That's the kind of presence that we're supposed to have. And we know what it's like when we daven without presence. Without presence, you somehow get your way through davening until you dissociate yourself, and that wakes you up. Right, and then you realize that you're in the middle of slach, and then your mind is totally not here, or you wake up when you bow down for modem, and you realize that you made all the way to modem, and you weren't showing up, right? So we have to be present. The Maharal actually says in Baragola, he points out that that's one of the reasons why we wear a talus over our heads. We wear a talus over our heads so that we're blocking out outside distractions, so that we can be here fully. So, if a person wants to know how to daven like a Jew, he has to figure out how to make himself present in the moment, right? Because that is a moment. Rav Volpe writes this in another place, where he talks about how that's one of the ways that we see the fullest expression of man's potential is the moment that he davens, because it's the most direct encounter with God that we have in the course of our day. We directly face Hashem and we say, Ata, you. But if we're not showing up for it, then we're really not doing what we're supposed to be doing during davening. So that's the first application, davening. Kavana, the idea of focus and directed consciousness. Any questions about that? Okay. The second area. The second application is in the area of learning. The Maharal, in another place, in his Akadama to Tiferes Yisrael, he talks about why we say the bracha of Lasok B'divrei Torah. Why don't we say Lilmod Torah? Every single morning, before we daven, we should say Lilmod Torah. We say Lasok B'divrei Torah. Maharal says something that's a big chiddush the first time you read it, and it almost seems wrong, but when you think about it again, you realize how true it is. He says the bracha is Lasok B'divrei Torah because the focus when you learn should not be on the results of your learning, it should be on the process of learning. Engagement in the act of learning. He goes so far as to say that if you focus, if you learn and you're fully engaged in the moment of learning, and you come out with an incorrect conclusion, you get the halacha wrong, right? Even if that happens, it doesn't detract one iota from the schar that you get from the learning. In other words, it's not about being right or wrong, it's about being osek in Torah, being fully engaged in Torah. It's very hard to make that shift, right? Because usually what our focus is on in life in general, but also when we're learning, is the results, right? We are very result-oriented. But what is interesting is that people are much more engaged. People enjoy learning a whole lot more. People are actually better at learning when they become process-oriented instead of results-oriented. Because think about what happens when you become results-oriented. It brings up a lot of anxiety. When you're constantly thinking of how am I doing relative to where I want to get to, and you're focused on the result, it creates a lot of anxiety about where you are right now. Masha'en came when you're process-oriented, you're focused on, I just want to be fully with the Daf Gemara in front of me, right? There's way less anxiety, there's a whole lot more engagement, there's a whole lot more enjoyment, and you love learning that way. La'asok b'divrei Torah. The Gra, in another place, actually I saw this brought down in the Sif Sechaim, it brings us down, says that the Gra says that a person's mindset, when he learns, should be that I'm the only person in the world, I only have 1 hour to live, and the only thing that exists is the Daf Gemara in front of me. That's what he writes. Now, it's a really intense mindset, but I think it makes the point, right? The point is that it doesn't matter where I get to at the end. It doesn't even matter how much time I have. Let me just be here with the Gemara in front of me. That's all I have to think about, is being right here. It's total engagement. And again, it's showing up to the moment. If we're focused on what we're going to have for lunch, or what happened during morning breakfast, or if we're focused on the phone call that we have to make, then we're everywhere else but here. And you can't enjoy learning that way. You can't get a geschmack from learning that way. That's the second application of being fully present in the moment, is learning. The third application, and this one is, we really need a whole share about this, and if you guys are interested, maybe we'll do it at some point. Shabbos. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about, is Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of presence. That's what Shabbos is. If you had to define menucha in the most accurate English term, you would call it hereness, stillness, just being right here, right now. That's what Shabbos is. When we say in davening every single Shabbos, Yom Menucha Ukdusha She'ata Rotzeba. Shabbos is a day of just being here. And we all familiar probably with the Medrash the Rashi brings down. It's a very hard Medrash to understand, but I think in light of what we're saying, it's understandable. Rashi brings down the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah that says that when a person arrives at Shabbos, his mindset should be Ki'ilu kol malachtacha asuya. That it's as if all of your malacha is done. Okay. Our malacha is not done when Shabbos comes. That's one of the hardest. What does that mean? It's as if, are you tricking yourself? Are you fooling yourself? All of us know that when you get to Shabbos, not all your malacha is done. You have to stop whatever you were doing. And there's many other things that you are going to pick up, that you wanted to do, or you're going to pick up at the end of Shabbos. So your malacha is not done. So what does it mean that it should be ke'ilu kol malachtacha asuya? So what it means, in a nutshell, again, we need a lot more time for this, but what Shabbos is a day of being totally here. That whatever happened before Shabbos is before. I don't have to think about that now. Whatever's going to happen after Shabbos is after. This is also why we're not supposed to talk about our business dealings on Shabbos. It's not just so that, you know, we have more like divrei Torah at the table. It's because when you're talking about non-Shabbosic things, you're not in Shabbos, right? That's the whole idea of why we can't do malacha on Shabbos, because malacha has to do with doing, creating, right? Furthering things, getting to another place. And Shabbos is not about doing, it's about being. It's not about doing anything. It's about being present. Being present with ourselves, being present with Hashem. That's also, by the way, why Shabbos is called Yoma Denishmasa. If you look at the Sifrei Kabbalah, and I've seen this, not in the Sifrei Kabbalah, I've seen this in the Sivo Shalom, quoting the Sifrei Kabbalah, but he talks about Shabbos being Yoma Denishmasa, the day of the Neshama. Why is it called the day of the Neshama? So, it's called the day of the Neshama because on Shabbos, you tap in to your Neshama's natural state. And your Neshama's natural state is in a state of presence with Hashem. Stillness. One of the definitions of Menucha is stillness. Right? Where I'm not moving from being here right now. Yom HaDinishmasa, it's a day of just being totally here with Hashem in a state of closeness. That's the Menucha of Shabbos. And how tragic is it when people miss Shabbos, either because they're making up for all of the past, all the sleep they didn't get from the past, they're making up for it, so their Shabbos is basically about the past, or their Shabbos is about planning for the following week and all the things they're going to do and talking about this, that, and the other for the coming week. They have no Shabbos. Shabbos is about being here. You can't be here if you don't know how to be present. And the flip side of it is that when you have learned how to be present, Shabbos is the most sublime pleasure in the world. It's so exquisitely beautiful because when you're fully present on Shabbos, you feel more connected to your deeper self. The Yom HaDinishmasa is a reality for you when you can be really present with it. It's much more available. Presence, Hashem makes presence more available on Shabbos as long as we show up to take advantage of that presence of Shabbos. Okay? That's Shabbos in a nutshell. There's so much more to talk about, but again, here's the third application of what it means to be present in our moments. It means to really experience Shabbos. The fourth application, and this is not only as a Jew, I think this is more just as a person, and I referred to it before, is relationships. Okay? One of the ways that we're supposed to grow as a Jew, certainly in yeshiva, but for our whole lives, is not only b'nadam l'makom, it's also b'nadam l'chavero. We're supposed to be better friends. Being present has so much to do with being a better friend. And I have a quote here, if I can find it. Here it is. It's a often quoted line, but it says that the greatest gift you can give to somebody is the purity of your attention. The greatest gift you can give to somebody is the purity of your attention. Okay? For all of the items that you could give to a friend, what's greater than all those is really showing up fully in that relationship, at that moment, to be just be present, really listening, really hearing. Because when you're there, you're able to be so much more patient, you're able to be so much more understanding, you can notice all the details of what the person's saying to you, you're not half-minded somewhere else, right? And all of you, like I said before, know it on the receiving end, how much you don't like and resent when you want the other person to be there fully for you and he's half somewhere else. So being present is also important as a human being because it allows us to be more fully engaged with the people that are important to us. And that's a life skill that's important as a Jew, and it's important as a father, it's important as a husband, it's important as a friend, it's important as a son, it's important in every relationship. It's important to know how to be present in the moment. And it would be a whole nother truth to talk about how technology has made this a whole lot harder, but our ability to be present is severely under attack because of our handheld devices. It doesn't allow us to learn how to be fully present because we pull our attention away. It's one of the ways that technology kills our humanity. As wonderful as technology is in many ways, I'm not knocking it, but it directly kills a significant aspect of our humanity, because being fully human is the capacity to be present in our moment with not just our mind, but our whole being and our emotions. And we're so ill-prepared for doing that, because we're often way more present with our device than we are with each other. So that's the fourth application of being present, is really showing up into the relationships with one another. Okay, I want to give maybe two practical applications to this, two things maybe that are take-home messages that maybe we can do that might make a difference in this regard. The first one that might help us be present is to allot time for yourself when you will think about all of the things that you need to get to. Okay, so all the phone calls that you have to make, all of the stuff you need to take care of, and whatever it is, all the things that you need to see to, there should be a time in your day when you know you can bank on getting that stuff done. Okay? And the reason I'm saying this is because one of the reasons that it's so hard for us to be present is because we have so many things pressing on us that we feel that we have to tend to. And this is a kind of just a very simple technique, very simple strategy, but it can be helpful. Is that if we know that we have time, that I'll return the phone call, or I'll text the person I have to get to, or I'll take care of this, that, and the other, laundry, who knows. But if I know that I have time to do that, then in the moment that my mind starts to wander to those things, let's say when I'm learning, I can then say to myself, no, I have a time to deal with this. The only thing that's important to me right now is being here. There isn't anything else that I need to do, because I have other times when I'll do those things. That's one idea that we can take with us to maybe enhance presence. The second thing, well, I'm not going to talk about learning how to meditate, even though if anyone's interested about that, I really enjoy meditation, and I think it's a very, very useful life skill, and it helps in davening and in learning and in Avodas Hashem and in relationships, and it's great. You see me afterwards, and we can talk about it. So I'm not going to push that here, but we can talk about it later. But the second point that I want to advocate is just learning how to pause in the course of your day, okay? Learning how to pause. And that basically just means that at certain points in the day, at whatever point makes sense for you, to just kind of pause and notice if you're kind of tumbling into the future. What I mean by that, notice if you're actually here, or if you're kind of three steps ahead, already focused on the next thing that you need to do. And when you pause, take a breath. You might even want to actually still your body. And just kind of look around. And just take in the moment. Take in the sights, take in the sounds, take in the feel, right? Take in the people around you. Take in the moment that you're in. This is a Revolvi Sima slave. Paying attention. Okay, pay attention to the moment. You also might pay attention not just to what's happening outside yourself. You also might notice what's happening inside yourself. That's also part of paying attention. Learning the outside landscape and learning the inner landscape. It's part of paying attention. But pause. Allow yourself to pause. And you realize, I think, when you allow yourself to pause, there's so much happening in the moment that I'm in that I just didn't see, didn't realize. And getting back to our main theme, once you do that, it'll be so much more available for you to ask the next question of, how do I think Hashem wants me to use this moment that I'm in with everything that's involved in it? So one last quote, which I just really like, which is, if you worry about what might be and wonder what might have been, you will ignore what is. And that, I think, sums it all up. I hope that, I don't think this topic is talked about quite enough, but I hope that I've shown that this is not a peripheral issue. I think this is very central, very core to being an emistic Eved Hashem. I think so many areas of our lives, what we're doing all day, davening, learning, I mean, Shabbos, these are huge interpersonal interactions. The good news is that this is a skill. Being mindful, being present is a skill. You can get better at it. It's not as if you're born with this ability or not. And I do hope that we all make it a priority in one way or another to figure out how to be more present and show up more fully. Because again, like we started off, it also brings a whole lot more happiness and fulfillment to our moments. Yishkoach. Yishkoach.
Thank you. Two, three things actually. One.